Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Say my name and say it right, okay? It's Chinang, yeah. Or for short, it's Chinae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinae Ogwumike, Chinangye Ogwumike, and Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I was just trying to think, all right, what's his full name? I think I remember it. Michael Lewis Golick Jr., right?
Yes, ma'am. Nailed
yes!
it.
Yes! Nailed it. Okay, good. That's very nice. Okay. You're wearing your Notre Dame shirt today. I am wearing Stanford shirt because it's Stanford all day here on Chinae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. And in about 10 minutes, I'm really excited to talk to another Stanford grad. It's normally Notre Dame here with Jordan Cornette and everybody. But we're going to talk to another Stanford grad and current player for the Las Vegas Raiders. So excited. Can't wait to ask him not only about the new 17-game schedule that is just confirmed, but also our Cardinal in the Final Four in the women's bracket. So excited. And speaking of which, the Final Four is set. So the women's tournament, Stanford, South Carolina, UConn, and Arizona. Men's tournament, Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor, and Houston. And Junior, I want to start the conversation focusing on one school, not Stanford, okay? But it is a Pac-12 school, UCLA, because two of their alums, Junior, they have a beef with one of our own. And I'm speaking of the head honcho, Stephen A. Smith, as you see all the time on First Take. Now, this is the timeline. On Monday, Russell Westbrook made some history. He dropped 35 points, 14 rebounds, a career-best 21 assists in the Wizards' win over the Pacers. This was the third time in league history that a player topped over 30, 10, and 20 assists. I think it was like Oscar Robertson, like some real goats, and Magic Johnson that sort of had that number. Now, Stephen A. Smith has a different standard for success when it comes to Russell Westbrook. So on First Take on Tuesday, Stephen A. made his point saying that when you're at Russell Westbrook's level, stats don't matter.
With a lot of people, I can joke around, but not when it comes to Westbrook, because that ain't his style. You know, you don't joke when it comes to him. And I respect that. So I'm going to be as real and as authentic as I possibly can be. Westbrook's numbers last night mean absolutely nothing to me, because even though that's great numbers, that's what Westbrook can do. We all know this. He's a former league MVP. He's the most athletic point guard we have ever seen in NBA history. He's been, I believe it was 4 conference finals in his career. We know this. But here's the reality of the situation. Russell Westbrook, when we look at his game, it's the same stuff every year. Might get a little bigger, strong, athletic, can take it to the basket. Still hasn't got that shot going, that three-point shot. You know, you in the same conference as Steph Curry for years. You struggling from three-point range. You going up against Dame Dollar, Dame Time. The three-point shot ain't there. Kevin Durant departs. You don't make it out of the first round until you get to Houston last year. Last year in Houston, he was an MVP candidate, averaging 27-7-7, okay? But in the playoffs, they obviously folded because they were going up against the Lakers and they were just overmatched. We understand that. You want out. So what do? You end up going to Washington. Now, I understand that I get to look at coaching because Scott Brooks should have some explaining to do to have the absolute worst defense in basketball. Any coach that has the worst defense in basketball should have some explaining to do. They are ranked 30th in the league in points allowed. But Bradley Beal and you are in the backcourt together, and y'all are 17-28 in the Eastern Conference.
And I think that becomes part of the issue, Chinae, is Russell Westbrook, we know, has been fantastic. We know he was an MVP. We know he's got all these accolades and statistics to go along with this. But it has been that lack of top-end success. And part of that is how we all define this. So, Chinae, before I get your reaction to this, I want to hear from Russell Westbrook, who spoke about this, the Wizards guard, on Tuesday after hearing and digesting all of this.
One thing I won't allow to happen anymore is let people create narratives and constantly just talking for no reason about me, because I lay it on the line every night, and I use my platform to be able to help people all across the world, and nobody can take that away from me.
Chiney, obviously those things, a lot of them that Russ brought up, a lot of them that his wife Nina brought up in her defense online for her husband Russell Westbrook, have to do with things off the court. But one of the points that he made there about legacy, and one of the points that his wife made about not only the legacy for a player like Russ, but players coming up, saying what if they listen to these comments? What if other people listen to these comments and it prevents opportunities? It keeps people from getting to the places that they want. Is there any point there in that about the words that we all choose around here on the side of the media?
I think it was very close to his accomplishment that it made the criticism that much more heavy. Meaning it was the day after and people are celebrating him and posting him on social media and everyone's like, oh, you know how it is. We're a league that celebrates, you know, each other now. When someone has a great performance, it's no longer the old days where like Jordan and them, where you're supposed to have beefs. No, it's you saw Damian Lillard wearing James Harden shoes and they're like, that's my guy. But aren't y'all rivals when you hit the court? There's a shift that's happening. And so when Russell Westbrook, you know, speaks and his wife, you know, articulates that, hey, he's already won. It's real. And hopefully the next generation doesn't hear those criticisms and thinks like, oh, he's unfairly attacking Russ. It's more so it was so soon to the accomplishment that I think it made a lot of people uncomfortable that you didn't really give him his flowers in that moment before we started criticizing what he has not done. But the reality is like what Stephen A. said was real about, hey, like we've all been rooting for you. And at some point, the conversation shifts where you've set that standard. And Junior, you brought this up so well earlier. It's almost like the LeBron James normalization of greatness. What you've done for assists and getting triple doubles, it's no longer remarkable. Like we expect that from you. And so now the next thing is championship. And when you point to the teammates, whether it is Kevin Durant and James Harden in OKC, shifting gears to having, you know, James Harden in Houston, and then now Bradley Beal, where when that move happened, Junior, Bradley Beal and Russ was like, oh, shoot, like this team, they get another, you know, they have two back-to-back picks in Rui Hachimura and Danny Avdija. Like this team can build something special. And when they still went on that, like started the season losing a lot, you know, it just made it harder to say like Russ is that guy. And so, you know, it's a difficult position because as athletes, we weight ourselves as like what makes us compete best. And, you know, Russ is in that space where he's competing at a high level, but society rates us on, do you have a ring though when everything is said and done? And we have to make our peace with that. Russ has, but the thing is his talents are so great that we sort of put the standard that he should be a champion too. He had the opportunity.
Yeah, Russ has to a point, Chiney, and listen, we all understand this. We have family members that are very online and well-known in this spot, and it can be hard sometimes. I know it was for my mom in a lot of instances to hear criticisms of my dad, to hear criticisms of me when I was a player or even now, and to not say something in that spot. But Russ responding to and saying that about his legacy says that it registered enough. Like, I think in the things that hurt us most, there's always some ounce of truth in all that. Mm. And I'm sure the competitor that Russell Westbrook is, he would like to be hoisting a championship trophy. He would like to be in those arenas. And so being reminded of that, he's got plenty to fall back on. He's going to be secure. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, all of those things. But I think the reason you get a response is because part of him looks at this, and even if it is the way we build this up in the media, and even if it is the way that we reduce these arguments down to just a ring count at some point in time, so do play. Like, we all play the game for that championship. Chiney, you're getting ready to gear back up for a season right now, and I know what you want to get is to go out there and to get a ring because it's the highest form of validation that we can all chase as athletes. And so there's a difficulty because it kind of stings when you know part of that is true.
Look, I love my job at ESPN. I love it. It's been so great for me. The reason I'm stepping back and doing two is for that ring, period. And I know people will, you know, I every day have the reality of like, people say, well, she's a great player, you know, number one pick, all-star, but did she ever win a championship? I'm like, does high school count? like I was a high school champion, does that count? I got two of them, one with my sister, one by myself. But we all put the standard on the professional ranks, and I think that's what we have to make our peace with. You know, I still am pursuing a championship, but we know that, you know, for better or worse, you may have one or you may not. And Russ is just under the microscope based on his success that he's raised that standard where everyone expects by the time his career is done with the teammates he had, it's going to be like, well, he didn't get that with all of this. And that's the hardest part.
You know what? I think this is a really interesting conversation that we can continue with our next guest coming right here. But before we tell you who that is, we do need to celebrate our black queens around here. Women's History Month, we pay tribute to black queens on the Undefeated on ESPN Plus. Explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com as we talk glowingly about our black queen, who, if you're ever watching on ESPN Plus, is always taking this opportunity to flex and to stunt. But coming up next, when we talk about the pressure of living up to expectations, of being a very high pick, of being someone that people are going to rely on, what's that like? How do we digest that, especially in a year that's been unlike any other? Excited to talk to Solomon Thomas, defensive lineman for the Las Vegas Raiders, next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, in a few minutes, as we approach the final weekend, I cannot believe we made it, of college hoops season, I will give you my starting five of the NCAA tournaments, because, you know, the Final Four, you know, they give regional awards. I think I was maybe outstanding player once or twice or something like that. But right now, I'll come through with my own awards, and there's no better segue right now, because we are Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. proudly wearing our school shirts. Notre Dame shirt by Mike Golic Jr., Stanford shirt, and I said come through with my own, because we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline to chat with Solomon Thomas, Las Vegas Raiders defensive lineman, All-American at Stanford, my fam from the farm joining us here. Solomon, thank you so much for joining us. Before we get to football, can we sort of talk about Stanford and the Women's Final Four, how excited you probably were to watch them advance?
Definitely. I'm so excited for them. I'm so proud of them. You know, they're always top in the world. I'm always one of the best programs and legendary. So, you know, it's honestly, you know, an honor to be talking with you right now. So, you know, thank you for the Stanford fam, and excited. So thank you for having me.
Oh, that's too cute. That's way too sweet. I know I feel like an OG because I left the farm when you were doing all your damage. But as someone that is a defensive lineman, and we know that, you know, the 17-game schedule just got, you know, ratified, certified. That was the news of the day. How does that feel? Like, what is your pulse on that new development as someone that's really in the trenches?
You know, it's tough, you know, because it's an opportunity to play another game, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about another opportunity to go out there with my teammates and battle, but it's also tough. Football is a hard game. You know, 16 games is a lot. It's a lot on the body, you know, so we'll definitely have to, you know, bump up the treatment, bump up taking care of the body, and then making sure that, you know, we're on top of that. But, you know, it's tough on players, and people don't really realize that. You know, I thought maybe 18-week season, you know, with two byes might have been better, but, you know, whatever. We got 17 games, and I'm ready to go, ready to play next game. Excited for a great opportunity.
And you've got a new opportunity with a new team right now. You're heading out to Las Vegas to go to work with the Raiders there. What was appealing about that organization to you? What excites you about getting to play with John Gruden and the silver and black out there?
Man, I love John Gruden's passion. You know, I love the way he loves the game, you know, the way he talks about the game, you know, just how passionate he is of it. You know, I love Gus Bradley. I love Coach Marinelli. Coach Marinelli is a legend. He's been in this game forever. Coached, you know, the Bucks when, you know, Warren Sapp was going crazy. He coached John Randall. He's coached legends on legends. You know, so I'm excited to play for him. I'm excited to be, you know, under his arsenal, and I just want to go crazy for him and be the best player I can be for that team, you know. So I'm excited for, you know, a new beginning, a new opportunity. I'm excited to start my career.
Yeah, go crazy then. I love that. Solomon Thomas, Las Vegas Raiders defensive lineman, just signed that contract. I saw the pictures on social media. We love it. But, you know, your previous team, the San Francisco 49ers, it's cool because, you know, when you're in the Bay, we sort of have a different pipeline going from party in the backfield to the 49ers. What did you learn from that experience that will help you now with the Raiders?
You know, I've learned so much from my time from Stanford with the Niners, you know, just growing the last 4 years, really coming into my own, you know, going through my own struggles, you know, maturing as a player, maturing as an athlete, maturing as a person. You know, I've truly become, you know, one into myself. I've learned how to love myself. I've learned how to be confident and finally believe in myself. You know, so I really believe, you know, my career is just starting. You know, I really believe, you know, I've just hit, you know, I feel like I just got drafted. I feel young. I feel ready to go. You know, I'm ready to play some ball. I'm ready to show people how great I am. I'm ready to show the greatness of Solomon Thomas.
And Solomon, you mentioned having to learn how to love yourself, to learn how to support yourself in that process. You've been a huge advocate for mental health, especially in the NFL community. community. And there's a lot of that that comes with being the third overall pick in a draft. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that. So how difficult was it to get to that point, especially knowing you had all those eyes on you as a top pick?
You know, it was difficult for me. You know, the pressure got to me at times, and, you know, I should have prepared better. I should have been, you know, in a better spot mentally. But, you know, I've learned from it and I've grown. But, you know, it was just, you know, it was tough. It was a roller coaster ride, but I wouldn't change it anyway. You know, if I had to go through again, I'll go through all those struggles. You know, I go through not having the production I wanted. You know, no one's harder on themselves than me, and I expect the most out of myself. And, you know, I know how great I can be. You know, and I, like I said, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, I'm excited for these next years and how much I've grown and learned about myself. It's truly come full circle, and, you know, it's time to dominate.
And you've learned all those things now, and we can hear it in your voice. You sound so ready for this, which is really exciting. There's a group of guys that are getting ready to go through the same process you did. There's a group of guys getting ready to get drafted into the league that you're a part of right now. So if you're looking at someone who's potentially the next Solomon Thomas, a guy who's going to be a top pick and deal with a lot of the pressure that you did, is there any advice that you'd give that player now, knowing what you've been through?
Definitely. You know, I would tell them, you know, number one, believe in yourself. Treat the NFL like it's like football. Act like it's the backyard game, the game you grew up loving. Don't make it something else that it's not that it doesn't seem to be. You know, you've been doing this your whole life. You're ready. You're prepared. You know, don't make it a big thing in your head. You know, just play football, play ball, have fun, be at peace with yourself and love yourself. That's the biggest advice I can give to someone coming into the league, being a top pick. You know, there's so many expectations, so much pressure. You know, you just have to hone in on yourself, hone in on your belief in yourself and your love for the game.
Awesome stuff and worthwhile advice for anyone that's getting ready to go through this process. Solomon, we appreciate you giving us some time. We are proud to rep your Stanford Cardinal
and
that are heading to the Final
I'll
Four.
I'll give you the t-shirt memo, okay?
We appreciate the time, man.
I know. I feel bad. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you.
Best of luck this upcoming season. Again, Solomon Thomas, D lineman, going to be taking his talents to Las Vegas with the Raiders there. Janae, man, he sounds shot out of a cannon. Like, if you're not ready to go to work after that, good Lord, I might have to do some push-ups.
He's like, wait, hold on. Is it opening day for the NFL tomorrow or MLB, or what's the deal here? Like, which sport? Because he's ready for both.
And listen, Solomon Thomas has been an incredible story. He's such an outspoken advocate for mental health and athletes trying to prioritize that, which is especially difficult coming off this past year. But that sounds like a guy who got otherworldly talent. You mentioned that Stanford D-line, that 49ers D-line he was a part of in all those first-round picks. So, excited.
You know, that's just what we call a Stanford man, okay? That's a Stanford man.
Listen, I'm gonna let you have this moment right now. We're going to get to plenty of offensive line talk when we can talk about the Notre Dame men heading into the upcoming NFL draft.
When y'all do something well again, okay?
Listen, you don't usually have to wait too long for that to happen.
True.
So it should be pretty exciting. But really appreciate
join the ACC again.
Wow. We are back to being Miss Independent. We are going to enjoy ourselves. Thank you very much. And best believe we're going to enjoy it, because that means we get to go out to Palo Alto for another dub sometime soon. So, excited to come and make that.
We ain't that good these days, but whoa!
You notice I waited until Solomon left to say that right now.
Back. Thank you, Cliff.
By the way, did we catch what he said is his sign-off? Because we've talked so much about this today, trying to figure out how I dismount interviews and sound cooler in doing it. What we did, we completely
blame TV.
Missed it
they
there.
Cut us off early.
Pretty sure he just said thank you, guys.
And see, you know, but you know what? Chiney has pointed out here that is the media training that young NFL players, young professional athletes go through right here. You're pretty buttoned up in this, right? Like, Chiney, you've got to have like the media buttoned up goodbye, don't you?
So this is the formula. If you're listening to guest interviews, coaches, or as Golic Jr. says, anyone over the age of 45, start off by saying, first of all, thank you for having me. On the back end, athletes who, you know, are dismounting always say, thank you so much for having me on the back end. Like, y'all, it's been great. Thank you so much for covering us, blah, blah, blah. So we've been just sort of taking our bets because Junior needs help with his dismount. Like, I'm like, hey, fam, appreciate y'all. Until next time. Hey, it's been real. You know, like, Ryan Clark said, hey, be cool. Like, we had Bruce Bowen that said, hey, get buckets. Like, cool things. We do radio for 3 hours, and Junior has no dismount for when he does other stuff. What? Like, that's a reflection of me.
That is a reflection of you. It feels like a reflection of everyone around here. Cliff, you feel uniquely disappointed in me here?
Oh, I'm not disappointing you at all. I just want to call out Chiney for calling out our wonderful TV staff and Becky and Ryan down there for
Becky,
disrespecting them and not bring telling them.
Oh, Ryan's up there? Yeah, that's why it happened. Because Ryan's up there.
Wow.
Ryan be having fun.
I am not going to get it in the middle of this beef because I love our staff.
Really? Everyone, I thought you were supposed to pick sides.
I never pick sides around here. I love my co-host. I love my staff. And everyone is doing a tremendous job here at Janae and Gold.
You know
what
would be perfect? You know what would be perfect if they just took me off the screen and just went wide shot for you? I wouldn't be surprised.
Hold my beer. That would be perfect. We'll see if they can do that coming up in the next segment, because it is Chinay's starting five right now, NCAA tournament.
It might be Mike's starting five next.
It might be Chinay's last starting five here on ESPN Radio and ESPN
Plus. Love y'all, TV.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The latest sports star that got a new tattoo. And I'm not talking about Mike. As we keep that same energy, find out who has a new tattoo. And I'm actually now curious. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Get nervous. Janae Ogunbowale and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Mike, when is the last time you got a tattoo?
Last time I got a tattoo, what is it, 2021 was probably 2018, 2017, somewhere in that range. I got my entire forearm done right here, so.
Oh, okay. It's a beaut. Do you have anybody's names on your body?
I have two names on my body. I do not have a woman's name or anything like that on my body. They are relatives who have since left this mortal plane. But no, okay. I have not made the mistake of getting a young lady's name anywhere on my body at this point. And I think at 31, I'm pretty safe from making that mistake anytime soon.
You knew that was my follow-up, so you just kept going.
Yep.
I love it. Well, if we're talking about ladies' names, we have to shout them out because the Final Four is set. The women's Final Four, Stanford, South Carolina, UConn, and Arizona. And the men's tournament, Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor, and Houston. And I have so many questions now that I'll save for the post show. But, you know, in the spirit of the Final Four finally being set, first and foremost, I want to say that the college basketball season has reached tournament time, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. So make sure you go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees, like Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs and Stanford. Stanford show today. Stanford's Haley Jones, the John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. One of your girl, you know, one person on the show has won that. So, like, I'll just leave everyone else to guess. But you can also find answers, if we're going to play the guessing game, find answers for the awards. Because, you know, the Final Four, one thing that I love is that you get the awards before the awards. So, like, you get the most outstanding player, the best team obviously advances. So I've made up my own awards for what we have seen in both tournaments in March Madness. Are you ready for this, Junior?
Let's do it. It's time for a March Madness edition of Chinay Starting Five. We got to get you the information you need about the NBA.
Sorry, I was all the way deep
into my bag.
Chinay, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information.
These teams are hot. Heat is on the stove hot.
We want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you
Chinay's starting five.
All right, here we go, number five. Let's go. Here we go, my starting five for what we have seen as Cliff cues the music for the tournament time. All right, Junior, I'm going to give you a guess because I just wanted to know if you know me and how my brain works. So, first award, number five.
Number five.
Most interesting fan. The nominees, obviously, you can probably guess, but who do you think I would pick as most interesting fan, Junior?
You would pick the North Texas dad taking pictures with the iPad.
You are wrong. No, and I'm not going to pick Sister Jean either. I'm picking Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks quarterback, and Sierra, I mean, the icon who you guys said is like, if I was an artist, I would be her. But Russell Wilson and Sierra being in the stands for Stanford women who advanced to the Final Four took down the Cardinals. The Stanford Cardinal took down the Cardinals. And in between every shot we saw that Anna Wilson made, or every steal that, you know, she got defensively, who she's our defensive quarterback of this team, defensive captain as well, you had literally her big bro, the quarterback Russell Wilson, and Sierra in the stands, which I thought was beautiful, Junior. Number four.
Number four.
All right, this one might be easy. Most controversial ending. What's your guess, Junior?
I think it was very recent. It has something to do with a no call at the end of the Baylor-UConn game.
This is a fact. The award for most controversial ending goes to Baylor versus UConn. And my girl Dejanay, we just started talking about Stanford. Well, Dejanay Carrington, the star for Baylor, formerly played at Stanford for 4 years and transferred as a grad student. And man, her star was shining. And this was a one possession game. And we got the worst call, the most controversial ending, where we saw in this tournament great shots made that forced overtime and stuff like that. everyone had a take on whether it was a foul or not. We all agree that it was a foul. But at the end of the day, what I do like is they let him play in the final possession, because sometimes if you don't, then that's when it gets really controversial. Number three.
Number three.
How about this, Junior? I mean, the men's tournament was just riddled with upsets. Which one do you think is the biggest overall?
The biggest upset in the men's tournament?
Overall, any tournament.
Oof. I'm actually stumped on this one.
Okay, so I'm going to just give you the answer. There was so much big Fighting Illini energy coming out of the Big Ten, because Illinois, they had won 15 of their last 16 games. The team was the favorite. They were the hottest team, favored to win the national title. Number one seed for the first time. And then Sister Jean happened. Them prayers are different. The Big Ten was the best conference in the country per NET net rankings. And man, this tournament just was anything but that, which was unfortunate. But yes, you know, Illinois, a lot of people penciled them in, and immediately when March Madness started.
I penciled them in. I penciled Illinois in, and they completely let me down, and they got baptized by Sister Jean in Loyola Chicago. It's brutal.
Drop the mic. Chenango Jr. here, and I'm giving you my superlatives, the awards before the awards, because in the Final Four, you give out awards, and now we're doing the best ones of both tournaments, men's and women's, to our favorite number.
Number two.
Most outstanding player is given out in every regional bracket, and there are a lot of great nominees, a lot of great suggestions. Jalen Suggs of Gonzaga, who Myron Medcalf, ESPN college basketball analyst and also one of our hosts on ESPN Radio, said, hey, this guy is going to be the most impactful to who determines winning a national title. But we haven't talked about buckets. Paige Bueckers, most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament so far. She just became the first freshman ever, as you've heard in the multiple Sports Center updates by our own Doug Brown, to win Women's Basketball Player of the Year as a freshman. She helped lead the Huskies to their 13th consecutive Final Four with 28 points and a regional win. I mean, your first regional and you drop almost 30. This year, she's averaging 26 and 5 rebounds a game. And so she's had a tremendous season, one of the best for UConn, which says a lot. And now, last but not least,
number one.
I will give the credit for most outstanding team. Junior, any guess?
I feel like it's not going to be Illinois.
No, it's not going to be them, and it's not going to be Stanford, because your girl is not biased, okay? All right?
Wow.
When I pick my T-shirts, I'm going to go with the Gonzaga men, and I listed a whole bunch of marks that we have to celebrate them. A lot of people say, well, a lot of teams were able to compete. People opted out. People aren't playing, all this type of stuff. So does this championship rank the same if they're able to win and be undefeated for the first time since 1976? Well, listen to this. First nationally in scoring offense, field goal percentage, and two-point percentage, trying to become the eighth national champion and just the second in the last 45 years to spend an entire season ranked number one in the AP poll. They set an NCAA record by recording their fifth straight 30-win season. They've won 27 consecutive games by double digits. I'm speaking of Gonzaga, which is the most by any team in the last 60 years. And they paced the nation in scoring margin, winning by an average of 23 points per game. Now, I know this is a pandemic season, but you got to put respect on anyone that steps into the arena. And if they're able to win this title, while a lot of people might say, well, it's different, they still did things that really will put them on the good side of history. So
I guess that's what I think, like, Chenae, like, you can say competition if you want during the regular season for them or any of this pandemic stuff. They've gone out there and blown the doors off people. Like, it hasn't looked relatively close on this. And so if you're going to play against lesser competition, maybe their tournament run is anything but that. You got to go out there and look like they do, and they have done it in style every step of the way.
Most interesting fan, Russ and Sierra. Most controversial ending, UConn versus Baylor. Biggest upset of Illinois by Loyola Chicago. Most outstanding player, Paige Bueckers. And most outstanding team, Gonzaga, the Bulldogs.
An incredible list. It's been a hell of a tournament. I know we had the opening weekend. The men's tournament looked insane because of all the upsets there. The women's tournament has given us the most exciting, compelling finishes of anything we've seen. And now we're getting down to the cream of the crop out here. So Chenae gets to celebrate her Stanford Cardinal. And I just get to sit here and bask in the glory that Michigan and USC both lost in the same day. And that is always a good time for your boy. But coming up next, someone had a good time and thought, you know what? I'm going to go get a tattoo. If it sounds like spring break, you're almost right. We'll tell you why next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I have more tattoo questions, but I will save it for another day. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwemeke and the well-tatted Mike Golic Jr. Now, today was a really great day because we got to chat with a lot of our friends. Myron Metcalf, ESPN college basketball and reporter and also ESPN radio host here, part of our family. He gave us the team to watch for in the men's tournament and his, you know, his things that he sort of saw being in the bubble and basically how he had like a two-screen experience. And that sort of is a testament to where the game is on both regards. If you see the numbers that the women are putting up, I'm loving it. Oh, yeah, I'm loving it. Also, Solomon Thomas joined us, Las Vegas Raiders defensive lineman, and he gave us his team he's rooting for. Also, his reactions, though, with 17 games now for an NFL player, you know, it's not only a physical game, it's a mental game. And, you know, as someone that's been in the trenches, his perspective was really amazing to hear. And last but not least, the coolest man on the planet, Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst and Super Bowl champ. He joined us live today from Pro Day, which was really cool, where Jamar Chase really ranks in this wide receiver class and also junior ranked the top four receivers-ish. Because it was really three and one tight end. But I guess that's really great for Kyle Pitts. All of those conversations happened today. And if you missed any of them, make sure you check out our pod, our podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. Just give us some love. Like, our podcast is lit. And today we had some really good quality conversations, whether it is the DMs to everything going down in the world of sports, Junior. It's been fun.
I'm just amazed that you haven't let this tattoo question slip yet, because now I'm genuinely curious.
Well, I'm like, okay, now I have to have a follow-up. Like, you have names. Like, is it family?
Yes, it is. It is family in that spot.
Okay. Do you have cartoons?
I don't have cartoons yet on that one. I've got an entire other arm, and I don't rule anything out right now because you
can't
never,
remember.
Ever know.
Do you do shades of color on there?
I am a black and white tattoo guy on here. I've always felt like it popped the best on my skin, so I do regret not going for the color tattoos. Because when you see guys like Kyle Long or Chris Long, excuse me, with his colorful tattoo sleeve, I always feel like that'd be a good way to go.
If we work together for like 5 years, will you get my name?
Oh my God! This, see, I knew all roads led to this. As soon as she brought up, "Have you ever gotten a woman's name tattooed on you?" I knew exactly how this was going to end. It was only one way. It was how much tap my name on you, so I know the radio show is real.
Wait. Okay, if we have a bet and we put a tattoo on it for you, would you do that bet?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I've always said I got so many tattoos on me out. What's one more anyway?
Love that. And in that spirit, keep that same energy, Michael Jr.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Now, as a show, we have to figure out which bet we will have to apply to the tattoo line for Mike Golic Jr. I'm so excited.
Just know if I'm getting tatted, we're coming with something special for you. Rest assured on that. But the reason we're talking about all this tattoo stuff is because Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, tweeted out, "I'm a man of my word." He said, "When we win the Super Bowl, I'll get a tattoo." And so, sure as hell, he got a tattoo. Super Bowl 50, or Super Bowl... Yeah.
The Roman numeral.
Strike again. It's
Roman numeral.
I can't tell if the Tampa Bay, the logo. What Super Bowl was
it? It was Super
year?
Bowl 55, right?
I hate everyone.
Was LVI? It 55?
Is it LVI?
I think it's LV. No. Because it is. It's Super Bowl 55 because it was live last year in Miami, and so that would have been 54. So it was 55 this
what
year.
What in the world, Junior? What?
Anyway, Bruce Arians got a tattoo of the Buccaneers Super Bowl championship logo on there. And I hate everyone now. I hate Roman numerals. I hate them
so
much.
Now you have to get that tattoo.
Oh, my God. If I get Roman numerals tattooed so I can be confused every time
it.
I look
Oh,
down.
My gosh. That is going to be the tattoo. It's going to be Roman numeral. That's it. Yes.
Oh, my God. Keeping that same energy
either
here.
Let's that go or
to,
swirl.
Let's go to something a little more wholesome in here, although Swirl is very wholesome around here. How about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? So there was a picture of him getting his COVID-19 vaccination, and it said in the caption that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was someone who didn't like needles. He was a little afraid of needles, and so he had his guy Lou Dort there holding his hand through that moment right now. Let me just say, if we are friends and you are not giving me that kind of love and that kind of vibes this year, I know where we really stand, because that is true friendship.
Isn't that Cliff's cousin? Lou Dort, right?
Shout out to my cousin Lou, man. What a good dude. He, like, it just falls from the family tree.
Okay, yep. Lou Dort, one of the best names we have in sports.
Absolutely, by far, and one of the best friends in that spot. But, Janae, as we close here, Aaron Rodgers, we talked a lot about him and his future with the Packers. How about his future with Jeopardy? Starting April 5th, Aaron Rodgers is going to be guest hosting Jeopardy for 2 weeks. as a proud representative of Nerd Nation that feel like this is right up your alley here. Another Pac-12 guy doing well.
A guy that's like an MVP and then like a superstar in the NFL and then like low-key really a nerd. So this fits with the sarcastic jokes.
Oh, here we go. We have got Stanford and Notre Dame playing in 2021. Put the tat on it.
Yes, let's put a tat on it.
All right, we got plenty to work out there. I got some calls to make back to the football facility to try and make sure we're going to be in a position
to win
this game.
We'll put some color in your tat this time.
we're gonna figure that out next. Speaking of colorful tattoos, Spain and Fitz are up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.